If you would please, Acts chapter number 28. Recently, in reading back through the book of Revelation, in those first three chapters, the last of which ends with Laodicea, the church age that ends with folks that are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The church that is known for having the Lord locked outside, banging on the door and saying, if you'll open and let me come in, I'll sup with you. But there's an interesting thing that connects all of those churches together, including the church who the Lord said has left your first love in Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2, and including Philadelphia. He finishes the epitaph on each one of those churches with a very telling statement. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, he pares it down, and he's not talking about just physical ears. He's, are you interested in hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Meaning from the standpoint of the Holy Spirit, when He writes down something in the Bible, are you interested in hearing what God's opinion is of your life? If you want to be a Christian comedian, it's very simple to do. Simply tell God what your plans are. And then watch what He does. Because oftentimes He doesn't follow what our plans are. The Bible says in the book of Amos, He said there's a famine in the land in the last days. And that famine in the land is not for preachers. The famine in the land is for hearers, and it's not just for the gospel, because the majority of people that are listening to preachers today are people that are already in church. So what can happen to us if we're not very careful is our ears can become what the Bible refers to in Jeremiah as uncircumcised, unclipped, unclean. In other words, the friction of the things coming in can eventually develop a blister, and eventually a blister into a callus, so that we're no longer able to hear what it is that God wants to say. One of the sure signs that we're going spiritually deaf is as soon as you hear something that registers, immediately you go, oh, brother so-and-so needs that, sister so-and-so needs... You know, if you'd apply that to your life, and you know, if this would do this and this would do that, what that means is that you're now cut off. You can't hear that it applies to you. The application is that it bounces off of you and hits whoever it is that you think. That's a sure sign you have a hearing problem. I want to try to help you with spiritual deafness today, just for consideration. We'll call it, for the sake of our message this morning, and I'll let you be seated 1 second, but we'll call it dullness. Nobody here doesn't get dull. We have silver that we got a bajillion years ago. We've been together over 40 years now, and that silver, no matter what you do, it tarnishes if it's left, and it gets dull. When it's polished, it's really pretty. I mean, I'm not into all the frills and the spills, but when it's polished, I mean, it's really a showpiece. It's really pretty. But when it's allowed to sit there for a while, you almost don't even notice it anymore. It just sort of blends in with whatever is around it. Acts chapter number 28 for our text. The Bible says this in verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, this comes out of Isaiah chapter number 6, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear. Brother Sam, you pray. Would you please ask the Lord to help us? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Paul draws to their attention that while so many of us often sing the songs, that we come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses. You remember the rest of the song? And He walks with me. And He what? When was the last time that you shut up long enough to hear what He had to say? I'm not trying to be harsh with you. I'm saying that we're given two ears and one mouth for a reason, and that is because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. Is that a fair statement? Is it a fair statement to say that oftentimes we're more interested in telling God our opinion of things than we are listening to what He has to say about things? Too often we get to talking so much we won't shut up long enough to hear what God has to say. Somebody that's always talking is blocking information from coming in. In Acts chapter number 7, Stephen is preaching. They have a great opportunity to understand conceptually what has happened with Jesus dying on the cross. The most important event in our life is when Jesus died for us. That's a defining moment for us. And now Stephen is up there preaching and he starts telling them about all the way back to Abraham and the forefathers and so on and so forth. And then he begins to say, listen, the guy he was telling you about is the guy that you just crucified. But he doesn't even give them the opportunity to get to the good part of it because they've already said, he's against us. We don't want to hear what he has to say. We don't like him. They start picking up stones. The apostle Paul is there. He is not an apostle at the time. He saw. He's holding their coats and they begin to stone Stephen. Why? Because the Bible says they had an uncircumcised heart. They didn't want to hear what was obviously best for them. As a result, here in the book of Acts, chapter number 28, the final chapter in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul says, listen, now God, because you wouldn't listen to Him, He's taken that thing that was intended for you and He's taken it to the Gentile. I'm glad that He did and I'm glad Gentile dogs got in and that's a real blessing. But the message today is am I still listening to God? Does God still talk to me? I believe God does talk to us today. I believe He uses a Bible in order to speak to us. I believe He uses a preacher. I believe He uses at times the hymns, the songs of Zion, and things like that to teach us, to preach to us, if we're willing to listen. We have one responsibility, and that's to hear. Faith cometh by, and hearing by. So if we're not willing to listen to what He has to say, what we are eventually saying, or ultimately a better word would be, is what we're saying is that what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. You ever have an argument with somebody and you're already convinced that you're 100% right? And no matter what they say, they can't convince you with a convincing machine because you've already made up your mind. You're right, they're wrong. You're not interested in whatever the facts may be. You ever had that happen to you before? You don't have to be married but about 6 weeks for that to happen at least once. Right? You don't have to have kids before they come in and they're willing to tell you everything they want. What do you usually tell your kids? Sit down, shut up, and listen to what I have to say. Right? Sometimes when you have employees, they come in there and they think they should be telling you how to run the business. They should tell you how to supervise. They should tell you how to do everything. And so they come in there and they give you a litany of things. And after they get done talking, it's like, I'm the boss. I'm making the paycheck. I'm signing your paycheck. You want to listen to me now? But would you agree with me that the Bible teaches us in James chapter number 3 that the tongue is difficult to be tamed and very few ever get it under control? He compares it to a horse without a bridle. He said, we can train, though, a horse with a bridle and control a 1,500, 2,000-pound animal. We can control a ship with a rudder, but we can't control a little tiny member that's caused more problems than anything else, this little tiny thing called a tongue, because we won't shut our mouth long enough to listen to what God has to say. Amen. One of the sure signs that you're dull is you stop listening to what thus saith the Lord. And you start looking for certain things in the Bible that line up with what you want the Bible to say instead of what He says. What I want to try to do is to help you this morning to see that you're not beyond hope, nor are you different than anyone else. But if you get dull of hearing, if you're not careful, you'll begin to drift. And when you begin to drift, you'll begin to doubt. And before long, you know what will happen? You'll wind up departing because you're no longer listening to what the Lord is saying to you. We know that from the study of Peter. Peter got to the point where on three occasions the Lord tried to warn him, and Peter said, "Not so, not so, not so." What a tragedy. When you study the life of the Apostle Peter, as great as he is, it is earmarked by, the black mark of everything is that what happened? This night all of you are going to depart from me. Not so, Lord. Yes, Peter, even you, before the night is over with, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows twice. No, it won't, though all others, not me, Lord. He's not hearing. He gets another warning when it comes time to pray. And then after that, guess what happens? He comes down and does exactly what happened. What happened? He quit hearing. He got where he wouldn't listen anymore. Now, I want you to know, and we've been over this before, so just to reiterate it very quickly, that was Jesus telling Peter, straight up, face to face, you're fixing to mess up.
Yeah.
Why didn't it work? Had the words of God lost their power?
No.
The words of God lost their ability to change lives? Are the words of God not able to then, that had slung creation into existence and star clusters into place, had the power in the words of God gone, but no, the answer would be resounding no. But guess what? Even God would not break through dullness of hearing. Deafness spiritually. Peter should have changed. Shouldn't he have? Why didn't he change? Well, because guess what happened? He started doubting. And what he began to think in his mind was, is that, I know God said that's going to happen. I know that's God manifest in the flesh. And well said, Peter, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you. You know that I'm the Messiah. Yes, Lord, I know that you're the Messiah. And Peter, you know I know all things. Yes, Lord, I know you know all things. You're going to deny me. No, Lord, not me. There ain't no way I will ever... Now listen, I don't know all these other ones, they might. I know them, Lord. I mean, I see cowardice and I see a yellow stripe down their back that's just, you know, a mile wide from shoulder blade to shoulder blade. They might desert you, Lord, but not old Peter. There ain't no way. Peter, no, I'm telling you, face to face, straight up, Peter, you're going to do it tonight. No, Lord, that ain't happening. Do you remember what happens after Peter wakes up? Peter wakes up and finds out they've taken Jesus, and he goes out there and he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and he grabs his sword out there. It's interesting the part that falls off of Malchus. It's not happenstance that when Peter pulls out his sword and he swings at the head, no doubt, of Malchus and Malchus moves, it's interesting that just the ear is cut off. Almost as if, wow, Peter, you cut off the part that you cut off of yourself a long time ago. I didn't have to take your ear off with a knife. You cut off your own ear. You wouldn't listen to me, and now you're cutting off his ear. And Peter, you know what? Unless I supernaturally put that ear back on, they're never going to hear from God again. Peter, good lesson for you to learn. Look, you can't escape it. And he rebukes Peter because Peter wouldn't listen. Peter is known in the Bible as the apostle with the big mouth. Peter is known for talking when it would have been better at times for him to be quiet. Peter is known for giving his opinion before he thinks about what the opinion might be and how it might line up. Peter is known as the one who puts his number 12 in his mouth on a regular basis, but I wonder if we might be able to learn something from Peter. How do I get that way, preacher? Well, I'd like to say first and foremost is that generally speaking, Peter's situation was is he's blaming other people for his inability to hear. Lord, the crowd that I'm with, that's the first attack that Peter has. You remember the story. The Lord says to you, you're all going to betray me. And Peter says, not so, Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, Peter, you're going to betray me. And he said, Lord, all the other ones will. Oh, okay, Peter, so what you think is that your problem is everybody else. It's not you. One of the surest ways to know that you're unable to hear God anymore is every message is for somebody else. I don't care if it's on a tape. I don't care if you're reading a book. I don't care if you're listening to the sermon right now. If you're thinking, boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to hear this. You know, if there's ever anybody that I've known that was spiritually deaf, that's Sister So-and-so. Hey, Peter, can I just tell you? You're fixing to cut somebody's ear off. You say, why? The Lord's going to use it as an example to say, hey, I'm not worried about them. I can't get through to you. Because too often we want to go to the doctor but let the prescription fit for somebody else. I've had to go to the doctor a time or two. We've been to the doctor frequently because of some other things that have gone on. And one of the things that's interesting is that they give a prescription and it has on that prescription the name of the person that's supposed to take it. Now, I'm old school. I don't think I should be giving my prescription to somebody else. You know, Brother Mitch calls me up and says, hey, my wife has a headache and do you have anything? Well, I have a prescription the doctor gave me for my headaches and so I'll just give that to you to give to Miss Tracy. But it was a prescription for me. And the doctor knows things about me, like I outweigh her by 100 pounds. Right? And the reason for my headaches might be different than why she has a headache. But all of a sudden, it's kind of like, oh, well, doctor gives me this for a headache. It works for me. And surely it'll work for you. And then come to find out, preacher, she's at the doctor having seizures. And they ask her at the doctor, who'd you tell? Well, a preacher gave me. I mean, he's a nice guy. And I thought he would know. He just gave me one of his pills. What did he give you? Why did you take that? That was his prescription. Can I say this as gently as I know how to say it, but with a little bit of stick-to-itiveness? Too often we take a prescription that God says it's for you, and we say, hey, this works for me. It's like, God, you're not a good enough physician to let you deal with what TK needs. I'm going to determine because of what you did. I know what TK needs. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what he needs. I know what God did that worked for me. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. That works for everybody. But we're beyond that this morning. And too often what we do is we know we have a problem, but the first thing we do is we blame others. And the second thing we do is we finally go to the doctor and the doctor says, you're right, you are a problem. Here's your prescription. They gave me this prescription. Here, TK, you need to take this for me. Because you know what I recognize? You got the same problem I do. And this will help you. But we won't take our own medicine. You sit down with somebody and you want them to listen to you, and then the Lord's like, well, isn't that interesting? I want you to listen to me. But you won't shut your pie hole, or pardon me, you won't close your mouth long enough for me to talk to you. It's like going to the doctor. I just saw this happen. An individual walked in, and I happened to be close enough. The door was open, and the doctor walks in, and this lady begins to run off his litany. Well, I looked this up, and I looked that up, and I did this, and I did that, and so on and so forth. And, they said, and here's what they said, and he said, are you plugged into WebMD? Well, WebMD, but then I went and verified the sources, and you know they found this, I found this, and so on and so forth. And the doctor says, well, you don't even need me. Well, yes, I do, because I need you to prescribe whatever she named out there. And he goes, do you know what that's for? And she goes, yeah, it's for what I have. And he said, and how do you know you have it? Well, because I read and it matches all of my symptoms. I know what that doctor was thinking. You're a hypochondriac. God only knows what disease you may think you have. But he said, I haven't determined that that's what you have, and I am not going to just write you a prescription until I diagnose the disease and determine, first of all, if you need the prescription. Right. And then second of all, what it will be specifically for you. And if that's what you're looking for, is somebody with a pad, go see a pill mill or somebody and let them write you out whatever it is you think you need, because I ain't doing it. Now, can I make an application spiritually? Can I say one of the ways that we know that we're spiritually dull, that we're dull of hearing, we're not quite to the point that we're completely deaf, is when number one, we think it's for everybody else and not me. And number two, we go to the doctor and tell the doctor what we need instead of letting the doctor tell us what the problem is. Because we won't shut up long enough for him to say, Here's what the test results are. We've already determined we don't need the medicine. It's the people I'm hanging out with. I hate to tell you this. Maybe the world would be a better place if it wasn't for people. But the bottom line is we're all people. And whether you like everybody or not is not even in question. I like people, but not all people. I don't want to hang out with Ted Bundy and Charles Manson. It'd be kind of hard to hang out with them right now anyway. They're where they need to be. But at any rate, you have to make selections along the way. You say, why? Being in the wrong crowd can dull your hearing. You don't think it does, but when you listen to the worldly ways and the worldly music and the worldly stuff and the worldly people and you listen to the news all the time and all that stuff, what it does is it calluses your spiritual ear. And then the Lord said, hey, can I talk to you? Lord, did you see what was happening? Lord, do you know what's going on? Oh my God. Yes. You called me, didn't you? Yeah, well, I mean, my God. I'm right here. What do you want? Lord, the way I see the world today, the Lord's like, okay, you're interested in seeing it from my perspective? I'm a little higher up than you. I kind of made it. I sort of know some things. But are you just interested in coming in and sitting down and you're going to tell me all the things and then tell me what you need and tell me how to fix it and we're all going to be good to go? Like your prayer would go something like this. Lord, please, let so-and-so win the election, because if not, the whole world is going to just go into a cataclysmic downfall. And that election swings upon it the pearly gates of people going to heaven and plea. And the Lord's like, oh, so you know their heart and you know who's best to be there. And why don't you leave stuff like that to me? Amen. Lord, if you'd fix so-and-so, you know, John and Judas and James, them three J's have got some real problems. Peter, you're the one with the problem. Not so, Lord. You ever done that before? You ever have the preacher preach, and despite of who it might be, that as soon as the Lord says you're the problem, you go, did he comb his hair? Does he wear a wig? Why does he yell? God, I'd hate to be his wife. What are you doing? You're changing the channel.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't want to hear what the doctor has to say. Because the doctor surely can't use a braying donkey to tell you anything. I mean, you only deserve somebody like, you know, Plato or Socrates to come in and serve it up to you. And, oh, let me just talk so intellectual. He can't use some country boy to go, hey, guess what, Peter?
Amen.
You're dull of hearing.
Amen.
You've gotten where you won't listen anymore.
Amen.
Not so, Lord. Second thing that happens is that we not only refuse the prescription, we try to tell the doctor what prescription we think we need. Lord, I just need a break. Okay. I just know I do. Lord's like, okay. I think I'll give you one and put you in the hospital for about 6 months. Will that work out for you? I don't mean that kind of break. I mean the kind of break where I do what I want to do and then I'm so wore out 6 days a week that on the seventh day of the week I take it easy, Lord. That's the kind of break I need. I need a break from spiritual things, Lord. I'm not going to take 6 months off from work, Lord. I mean, I got to pay the bills. I'm not going to take 6 months off from my marriage, Lord. I mean, I'll wind up divorced. I'm not going to not service my vehicle for 6 months because it'll break down on me. But Lord, what I know I need is a break from all this spiritual pressure. Because I can't deal with the people. No, Peter, you've got a problem there. Sometimes we blame others for our dullness. Sometimes in time past, you get to looking at yourself and we just refuse to admit we got a problem.
Yes, amen.
I had a man at a place at the beginning of the year that told me, I said, hey man, how are you doing? It's good to see you. I heard you've been in the hospital. He goes, yeah, they don't know nothing. I said, oh, they didn't tell you anything? He goes, well, they told me, but I don't believe it. I said, oh, okay. He goes, they told me, and then he gave me what the problem was. He's got a heart valve issue and so on and so forth. And he goes, but I don't believe him. I said, oh, okay. What are you going to say to somebody like that? You're like, are you an idiot? I mean, you know, we know that you have this particular mitral valve issue, and we know that you've got this problem with this particular thing involved, Dumaflitchi, that comes in this way or whatever it might be. He spends in there 7 days because he's having all kinds of problems, and he goes in there and they say, okay, good, we know exactly what this is, and guess what? We're going to have to give you some medicine to treat you have heart disease. And before long, guess what's going to happen to you? Your heart's not going to be able to pump. His legs are like, his ankles are swollen up like this. It's kind of like, you might have a little problem there. He's like, they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what it is. Oh, is that what they said on the prescription when they discharged you? We have no idea, or we're throwing our hands in the air because we don't care. He goes, no, they think they know what it is. And I said, okay. And he goes, well, what do you think? And I said, I ain't a doctor. I got no idea. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you look pretty sick to me. I mean, seriously, you think ankles like, you look like elephant legs, man. Something like needs to help that get in the other direction. Like the pumps or lay on your back and put your, I mean, I don't, but I'm not going to say nothing. And he ain't going to listen to the doctor. Why do you think he'll listen to me? You know, I wish I could tell you, yeah, and 2 days later he dropped dead. I guess he's still doing fine, but here's my point. He went to the hospital and told the doctors, there's something wrong with me, but when they didn't agree with what he thought the problem was, he wrote them all. Never been to medical school a day in his life. Just reads the internet. So he's an expert. Is it helping you any at all?
Yes, sir.
We come to the great physician and go, I'm kind of dull. I kind of feel unplugged. I kind of feel a little distant. I'm not really backslidden. I feel sort of cold and kind of callous and all that kind of stuff. The doctor says, well, yeah, problem is you can't hear. You run your mouth too much.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
All these other people. I mean, if they live like that, they're not complaining about being dull. You are. Here's the prescription.
Yep.
Step one, sew your mouth shut. Because the temptation is going to be for you to continue to repeat the same behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So sew your mouth shut so that you won't be tempted to do something you shouldn't do.
Right.
And learn how to listen. Lord, can't do that. TK, I went to the doctor. You know what he said? You need to shut your mouth. Especially when I'm talking.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's like, wow. How about that? What do I do if I'm dull? Here's step number one. Claim 1 John 1:9 and agree with yourself against yourself and know what? I'm the problem. God don't want you dull. God wants you to be polished up and bright. You know what He says? He said, let your work so shine among men that the light will be seen in you. The Lord wants you to be it. But you know what you have to be willing to do? You have to be willing to say, I'm the one that's got a problem. Yeah, everybody else got problems. That's true. But I'm the one that needs help. It's beyond your own ability to cure yourself. Could you listen to me? This ain't no self-help. This ain't no eye of bat and wing of newt. This ain't I can close myself in the room and take some kind of holistic cure for this and that kind of a thing. This isn't a medical situation. This is a spiritual situation. And there's only one great physician. And you're going to have to be willing to sit down and let him diagnose your problem. But when you get in and sit down, you know what you have to do? Recognize you're in the presence of the great physician. And he says, why are you here? You tell me. I know something's wrong. He doesn't say, well, what do you think it is? I had a really good doctor. He was her doctor for a long time way over in the panhandle. We used to go over there and he has these big old mitts, man, and big old giant hands. And he would say, the most important thing is diagnostics, diagnostics, diagnostics. You've got to spend time in diagnosis. Not one time did he listen to somebody when they came in and sat down. He did not say to those individuals, what do you think the problem is? He would say, tell me where it hurts, or tell me what your symptoms are. But he never said, and why do you think it's that way, or what do you think it is? Because why? He's the doctor. So I have to, first of all, if it happens to be sin, I got to claim 1 John 1:9. You know what I have to do? Come in and say, Lord, I'm agreeing with me. I'm the one that's wrong here. I need some help. What's the problem? Well, what kind of outward manifestation or symptoms do you have? The Word of God just doesn't mean what it used to mean to me. People are irritating me more than they ever have before. It seems like I do everything and nobody does anything. And the Lord's like, okay, stop, just hang on, right? That's enough. Let's just start with those. I'm burned out. I'm tired. I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. I'm agitated. Lord said, okay, I got enough of the symptoms. Now let me diagnose the problem. I already know what the problem is. Okay, pay the receptionist on the way out. I'm not writing you a prescription. Because unless my prescription lines up with what you want me to give you. I think one of the most comical things I've seen of late on TV, the little bit that we do watch, is that they run an advertisement for a particular medicine and then tell you, the patient, ask your daughter, or your daughter if she's a doctor, ask your doctor to prescribe for you. And I'm thinking, surely you're not that stupid. Oh yeah, I saw the commercial, I've got all the symptoms. If you watch it long enough, you will think you have everything. Literally, you will think, I got that too. I mean, catch you on the wrong day, it's like, yeah, and I got that one too, and I got that. And then the next thing you know, you're in bed, you got the covers pulled up to your eyes, your wife's like, babe, what's the matter with you? Get away from me, I've got everything, I'm dying. And sometimes the reason that we're dull of hearing is not just because we refuse to listen, but because we refuse to admit that we're the one with the problem. Amen. Secondly, I'm trying to help you out of it. It's really not long. You have to learn that nothing is perpetual. You got to get personal. You got to realize, I got to say, I got a problem. When you go to the doctor, you're sitting in the waiting room. It's not your job to diagnose everybody in the waiting room. Can you close your eyes for just a second? I'm not going to throw anything at you. Just for a second, close your eyes. Right now you're in a giant waiting room. And there's people that are in here that need help, and it's not your job to diagnose their problem. It's your job to say, I'm here because I need something. Okay, you can open your eyes. If you lack an appetite, generally speaking, it's because you're sick. Right? You get tummy trouble. Here's for me. I'd much rather have a headache and I'd rather have fever than to have nausea. I hate nausea. That you know, what's wrong with you? I'm nauseated. I know I'm a wimp. I should just tough it out. You know, you're good. Get you some baking soda. It's like, I'm going to puke. Get away from me. And I don't like to puke. Well, if you'll just throw it up, it'll be fine. I don't like to throw up. Now, if you do, God bless your heart. It stinks. And I don't want to match you or gamble for the green pieces. I'm not interested. I don't want to see what I already ate. Just saying. It's disgusting. Just try to keep it down, like at the plunger, and right? But when I know when I'm not eating, you know what I know? I know I've lost my appetite. Or I'm full of something else. I come to church. And yeah, maybe the preacher is dry as cracker juice. That's a possibility, but not every week. Could it be that you've already eaten too much of everything else? And when the spiritual stuff tries to get in there, it's like, I don't know, you tell me I'm putting you on the spot. And you're a little more receptive since you're in school to hearing what's going on with preaching or when you watch the news all the time. School, because you're taking in the right stuff. Usually, we lose our appetite because we're sick. When I lose my appetite for the things of God, it's God indicating,
you got a problem.
Yeah.
You're sick. So now what do I have to do? I got to work on my appetite. Because I don't feel like eating the right things. I didn't used to like broccoli. But I know broccoli is important. I've had some great meals. I was preaching at a meeting one time. We were with some friends. They took us to this place in New York. They sat down, and I think to just sit down, it was like the meter was running. It was like sitting in the cab. Money. I mean, it was like, thank the Lord I wasn't paying for it. It was like, we don't need to even be in here. They brought out every kind of food you can possibly imagine. And it was really good. There wasn't much of it, but it was really good. It was one of those kind of places where you go just so you can say that you've been. And how was it? It tasted really good. But if you planning on going and getting full, I mean, we left there, I think, and went and got a hamburger. But, I mean, we had a great meal. But nothing's perpetual. I've heard some great sermons, but one sermon won't get you through.
Amen.
I've heard some great singing. I heard some this morning.
Yeah.
I like when Biggin sings Boodleland. So don't you get tired of it? God's
no.
No, I like hearing the boys sing the Buddha song.
Yeah.
It trips my trigger.
Yeah.
But nothing is perpetual. Nothing is continual. You can't live off of one sermon or one song or one verse of Scripture. I mean, for me, I would starve to death. My verse of Scripture is Jesus wept. There ain't a lot of meat on that one.
Amen.
If it's just that one Scripture, I'm going to have a hard time. I'm going to starve to death. I know Jesus wept. I know Jesus. I better learn some other things in there. What I'm saying to you is that if you're dull of hearing, you know, one of the things I have to recognize is this thing called church is not perpetual one time, does it?
Right.
Salvation, one trip to Calvary, that does it, deal sealed.
Right. Amen.
But after that, you know what you have to have? You have to have a steady diet. Stupid illustration.
No.
But most of us eat
at
least three times a day. Is that fair? I don't care. Look, this is not a weight deal. This is, listen. I mean, most of us eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And now I've learned that at Vacation Bible School, you have breakfast, snack time, lunch time. I'm learning. I'm slow, but I got to have a little snack time in there. And then there's lunch, and then there's usually snack time between lunch and dinner. And then there's dinner. And then if dinner wasn't enough, you got to have like that midnight snack before you go to bed. Because you know it's just going to make you sleep so much better. Right? So we feed ourselves physically on a daily basis 3 to 5 times a day.
Yeah. Come on.
And we wonder why we're struggling spiritually when we generally feed ourselves a couple of times a week.
Amen.
If I ate physically a way that matched my spiritual eating, I would look like I lived in Auschwitz. I know it's a struggle. This is not meant to put a burden on you. It's meant to help you to get better, to understand that part of the reason for dullness is that we stop eating because we think, oh man, remember that blowout I went to? Man, it was unbelievable. Yeah, but it's June of 2021. Man, remember that youth camp? Man, when God spoke to me and all. Yeah, but it's 2021 and you're getting grown up now. And you have a lot of other problems now that you didn't have back then. And you need that fresh oil that David talked about. You need that fresh anointing that David talks about. You need that closeness of fellowship. You say, why? You can't live off of all the great things that happened in the past. And while I love looking back in the past and remembering those things, they won't feed you today.
Amen.
You can't live off of one experience. One time you hollered amen, or God was real to you, or spoke to you out of your burning bush, or whatever it might have been. It is not perpetual. You have to recognize if you're not eating, then you're sick.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, and this will be a little bit unpleasant for some of you, especially in light of a number of things that have happened, but when people are beginning to pass from this life to the next, you go study what they tell you
And after talking to many hospice nurses and being there as people left from this life into the next life, you know what they stopped doing?
Yes.
They stopped eating.
Yep.
And they stopped drinking.
Yes.
And if you try to force that on them during that time, it can be very painful and it can be very harmful because their body is beginning to shut things down. And sometimes when you start noticing a lack of desire for preaching and for praying and for singing and for the Bible and the songs that are being sung, they don't really tag you anymore. And coming to church is all about what everybody's not doing. And it's all about who is and who isn't here. It's an indicator that you're sick and you may be fixing to, spiritually speaking, when you lose that appetite, you know what happens to you? You die spiritually. You don't lose your salvation. I've talked to people in that condition. Deader than 4 o'clock. Man, weren't you at such and such a meeting? Yep. Weren't you the one shouting, hollering, bawling, squalling at the altar? Yep. Didn't you get called to preach one time? Yep. Weren't you a preacher? Yep. Didn't you used to sing? Yep. What happened? I don't know. Just don't want to do it no more. Ain't hungry for it no more. Don't really want. Don't care. Don't do nothing. Hypocrites in the church. Hey, it ain't lost people that says hypocrites in the church. It's saved people that talk about hypocrites in the church. But you know what I know? I know that those individuals, they're hungry. They stopped eating because they're sick. Number three. The preaching or the prescription has to be applied to you, not everybody else.
Amen.
Can I say this about preachers today? And I have to put myself there because I'm a preacher. We've stopped being personal in our application of the passage. We throw corporately and generalities and things like that instead of being, thus saith the Lord, and pointing our fingers and making a direct application to David who's committed murder and adultery. What that's produced is a congregation full of people that says it's him, it's them, it's they.
Amen.
In the old days, the preachers would preach and there could be 500 people gathered, but the Holy Spirit would deal with you as if it was only you that was being talked to.
Yeah.
And it was like, how does he know that? And it was personal and it was pointed and people appreciated it. I don't know about you, but when I do go to the doctor, I don't care that he calls me out and goes, you're next. And man, do you have a problem. That's why I'm here. And I walk out there and I have my little sheet of paper and it's got a prescription on it and a bill to pay. I don't care who sees it. I'm sick. I got a prescription. I got a problem. I went to the doctor. He's going to help me. It's ingrown toenailitis. It's, you know, belly button jam. I don't know. I don't care. It's toe jam. I don't care. I'm sick. I got a prescription. I came to the doctor. I don't know if he's going to help you. Help me.
Amen.
But no longer do we take it personal. Oh, I didn't say we don't take anything personal. We will definitely take it personal when somebody parks in our space or sits in our car or does something different than we would. We'll take that personal, but you won't take the preaching personal.
Go ahead.
Not anymore. Preachers today have learned how to play to the crowd. And they've learned how to generally throw out truths, but there's no point on the end of it. It's kind of like, well, what do you think? Well, how do you feel? Well, if God spoke to you in general, He's not here to point anyone out. That's looking a little weird to me there. No, the Lord's preaching is intended to be pointed. It's intended to prescribe.
Amen.
And it is intended to be personal.
Amen.
And if you won't take what God's putting down, there's no helping you. If you won't do what the great physician says. So number three is, I got to take preaching personal. Why come if it's not going to be personal? Then you know what I have to learn to do? I have to learn that I have to put some shoe leather to it. I told you it's not long. If I get this prescription and I go to Costco's and I say, I got a prescription, and they fill the prescription, and I walk out with my little bottle of medicine, and I go home, and on the bottle it says, take two to start, one at lunch and one at night before you go to bed until the prescription's out. And I go, I just never have been good at taking pills. Why do they think I got to take pills? I don't want to take pills. So I take that prescription and I open up the cabinet, put it in the cabinet. I got the prescription and it's personal. And I know it's for me. And my name is on that label. And it's got one of them little lock caps on it so the kids can't get in it. And it sits there and I get sick. And I go back to the doctor. You know what the first thing he's going to ask me is?
Yeah.
You take the medicine I gave you? You know the only reason I wouldn't take the medicine? Because I didn't think I needed it. But more importantly, because I thought I knew more than the doctor. I don't need that medicine. That's for somebody else. Why did he give it to you? I got the prescription. Got my name on it. I know it's what the doctor says is wrong. Yeah, but I don't want to perform and take the medicine. Here's a good one for you. He says, go home, take the medicine, and I want you to rest for a couple of days. So you know who I am? How busy I am? Rest. Like rest is going to cure anything. Rest. You're sick again now, and the doctor says, I took the prescription. I took every pill in the bottle. Okay. Did you take the rest of the prescription?
Yeah.
You didn't give me any other pills. No, I said, along with the prescription, rest.
Amen.
Did you rest? Did I rest? Why would I rest? So the medicine would work? So you wouldn't be back in my office again wanting to know what the problem is. You know what that doctor wants to say? He won't. But you know what he wants to say? I can tell you why you're sick. It's because of you. Preacher, I'm dull. Okay? Got to agree with God that it's me's problem. Number two, got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Number three, you can't live on what you've lived on in the past. You know, last time I got that, I took a little apple cider vinegar. I felt better in a week. Didn't have no trouble at all. You got to do what the doctor says to do. And then you got to take the full prescription.
Amen.
You got to do what he tells you to do. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? You're going to stay sick. And spiritually, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be right where you are right now, as close to God as you want to be. Because you refuse to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm dull. I really am. I'm out of fellowship for the Lord. I'm going to have Brother Gary come. I hope he's downstairs. I'm going to have him come play in the end of the invitation. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to ask you a question, if you would. It won't be a long invitation. If you're dull this morning, if the luster in your spiritual life has begun to move off, would you maybe come in and see the doctor and say, Doc, me, I got a problem here. Would you consider not thinking about how good it's always been? Would you consider right now just saying, Lord, I'd like to ask you what the problem is, and whatever you prescribe, I'll do and I'll take it. But you know something, Lord, I'm not hungry like I used to be. And I'm not eating what I used to eat. I'm eating corn husk out of the pig pen. And filling me up with fiber, Lord, but I sure do miss the days of meat and taters. Sure do miss the days where you fed me. Sure do miss the fellowship that I had. If that's you today, if you're getting dull of hearing where God can't speak to you, if whenever you get ready to talk or get ready to listen, you start talking before you listen, if that's you, would you consider coming down? Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's playing. No better thing to do than to come see the great physician. Lord, I'm distracted. I got all these other things going on in my life. All over the place. Just stuff in the way. And I'm not hungry. They're coming. Won't you come? Come on. They're coming. Come on. We'll wait on you. We are in no hurry at all. Stuff is in the way. Just stuff. Just filling up on stuff. And I miss it. And I want to be with Him. And I want to have my heart burn again like it used to. They're still coming. Come on. Lord, I want my appetite back for spiritual things. I admit I'm the problem. I'm the one that needs some help. They're still coming. Would you come? I'm dull of hearing, Lord. I'm getting where I can't listen to you. I don't rejoice when you speak to me like I used to. I want to be like Elijah and not be sidetracked by all of the other noise, but be back in fellowship where I can hear your still small voice. They're still coming. They're still coming. There's nothing you've done and nothing you can do that if you're saved, the Lord won't forgive you of. And if you're not saved, He'll forgive you and save you. No matter how bad it might be and no matter how much the world or anybody else tells you, you've done something so terrible that God won't talk to you. I'm telling you now, based on the Bible, they're lying to you. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Folks are still coming. You have to decide personally, individually, whether or not it's for you. You still hear God like you used to hear Him? Do you still rejoice in Him the way that you used to? Do you still have the appetite for Him that you used to have? No, preacher, I don't really care about that stuff anymore. Okay, usually when you're not eating, you're sick. We'll wait. We're in no hurry. Thank you for so many illustrations that are in the Bible that remind us of the importance of our fellowship with you. And as Paul closes out the last chapter in the book of Acts, he reminds us of the passage that you saw in your people Israel in Isaiah chapter 6, quoted by you and by the Apostle Paul, that we all are in danger of having our ears to be dull from hearing you. Might we all just take the time this afternoon to consider these matters, to do a checkup, and if we need to see you, the great physician, to go see the doctor, would you help us to drag ourselves into it and shut up long enough to let you talk? Pray, Lord, you'll be with these folks that have come today. You'll bless them for their willingness to come. Reward them by feeding them from your word. And we'll ask these blessings upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.